Encourage you to take those Bibles and open them up to Romans chapter 14. We are inching ever so closely to the conclusion of our journey through the book of Romans. This morning we'll begin chapter 14, and as you make your way there, just a couple of extra verses for you. One comes from Psalm 133, verse number 1, and it declares, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Jesus, in his prayer for his disciples and for future believers, asks his Father for unity within the church. In John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21 says that, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Romans chapter 14, Paul addresses the reality that there are times that we are going to find ourselves having differing opinions. These different opinions do not have to weaken the unity among us. In matters where we have a difference of opinions, we should always search the Scriptures to see how God addresses the circumstance or the issue. However, not every issue is specifically addressed or clearly defined in the Word of God. And so what happens often is that we'll take our personal opinions about those matters that are not specifically addressed in His Word, and we'll elevate those personal opinions to a position where we'll find ourselves looking down upon others who don't hold the same opinion or practice as ourselves. We do that on all kinds of issues. We do that with the issue on the consumption of alcohol. We do that when we consider things like, what about going to movies or watching television? Is it okay to watch certain movies or certain programs? If so, are there limits to what's okay to watch? We do it with the issue of music. Are there limits and restrictions to the music that we listen to on our own? And if so, are those limits and restrictions personal or are they universal in nature? Can I attend extracurricular activities or sporting events? Is that acceptable? Or if so, then what happens if they fall on a Sunday? Does that change anything? So when someone doesn't accept or practice the things that we have accepted or the things that we practice, if we're not careful, there'll be a tendency within us to look down upon others who practice faith a bit differently than we do. Romans 14, verse number 1 says it like this: "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." As we begin, there are two things that we must first understand. Number one, believers are at different levels of spiritual maturity. In fact, not only are we at different levels of spiritual maturity, we progress at different paces in spiritual maturity. So the first thing that we need to understand is that we're at different levels of spiritual maturity. Number two, we all have diverse backgrounds and personal experiences that tend to shape our attitudes and our practices. We don't all share the same background. We don't all share the same experiences. So the reality is that sometimes our background and our experiences have a shaping influence on who we are and what we do. Paul, in his command from the very beginning, commands us to accept the other. Accept one another. Accept the one who is weak in faith. Notice the word. It says weak in faith. It doesn't say absent of faith. It acknowledges the faith of the other. It does also recognize that it is weaker, right? So we're to accept the other. Notice also how we're to accept them. We're to accept them without passing judgment on their opinions. Just accept them. A believer who's weak in their faith, who's still struggling to understand the freedom that they have in Christ, that person is to be warmly accepted by the church. They should be accepted without the threat of confrontation. Accepted without being guilted because of how they practice their faith. They should be accepted without arguing with them over their opinions. Accepted without debating with them over their actions. And Paul's going to give us an example of differing opinions and practices. And the example that he uses pertains to food. Verse number 2 says, "One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." So the verse, let me be clear, it says that a weak person is the one that eats vegetables. Side note, they're weak because all they eat is vegetables. But that's not what he's saying. That's not. Sorry. The verse is not saying that every person has the right to create their own ethical system. For example, one Christian can't hold the opinion that adultery is wrong, and then another Christian come around and say, well, adultery is not really a problem. It's not a sin. And in cases like that, where they have two differing opinions, are we supposed to just live and let live? No. No, because scripturally clearly addresses the issue of adultery and that it is sin. What Paul is talking about are matters that are not clearly identified or addressed with Scripture. And so Paul uses the example of eating meat. And I don't think this example properly translates to our culture today. And so let's step on some toes this morning. Why not? How about we take up the example and we apply it in the same way. And we'll use the example of drinking alcohol. The Bible nowhere prohibits the consumption of alcohol. Yet there are multitudes of believers who believe that if you take one sip, then it's a sin. Say that also these believers have a hard time trying to explain Jesus' first recorded miracle. They have a hard time understanding that and the Last Supper in the upper room and the introduction for communion was from a cup of wine. Nevertheless, these individuals will place upon themselves a restriction that says no alcohol, no circumstances, ever. And so while the Bible nowhere prohibits the consumption of alcohol, the Bible clearly prohibits drunkenness. That is clear within the Scriptures. And because we live in a culture that doesn't know how to handle or how to manage the consumption of alcohol, some have taken the position to voluntarily place upon them a restriction that says no alcohol, never, under any circumstances. Okay, so truth be known, like, I get it. I respect that. In fact, my life more reflects that type of position. The issue is, we cannot make this a rule, not just for ourselves, but then try to apply that rule to everybody else. We can't take our rule and impose it on everyone else, and then we can't look down with contempt or even scold or reprimand another believer who has a differing opinion or approach to a matter that's not clearly addressed within Scripture. So back to the issue of food. I want you to notice that the reason why some people were vegetarians is not stated in this text. The reason why it's not stated is because their objection is not the point. The point is how those with differing opinions and approaches, how they're supposed to relate to one another. That's the point. And in such situations, a believer is not to judge or condemn another believer who practices it differently than the way that you do. Look at verse 3. It says, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt. Man, that's a good word. Word can also mean to despise, to look down upon, or to ridicule. It says, the one who is not who eats is not to despise or ridicule the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge, which also means to criticize or condemn. Right? So not to judge the one who eats. So the reason why a strong believer is not to despise a weak one, and the reason why a weak believer is not to condemn the strong one, well, the reason is stated next. Gives us the reason. The reason is, for God has accepted him. So Paul first gives the instruction that we're to accept one another. Now he gives us the reason why we're to accept one another. And so this morning I'm going to share with you relatively quickly four reasons why Paul instructs us to accept one another. The very first reason, he just said it, is because God has accepted us. We accept one another because God has accepted us. It's not our responsibility to decide what are the requirements for Christian fellowship within the church. Only the Lord can do this. And we ought to leave it up to him to set those qualifications. And to set up a man-made restriction on the basis of personal opinions and personal convictions is to go way beyond the Word of God. Because God has accepted us, we must accept one another. We must not argue over those matters that are not clearly addressed in his word. We must not judge or despise one another. The fact of the matter is, in every church, there are believers that are strong and believers that are weak. The strong, well, they understand the spiritual truth and they practice it. The weak, they're growing in their understanding, in their maturity, and they're practicing it. And so those that are weak are not to condemn the strong and call them unspiritual. And the strong believers aren't supposed to look down at the weaker believer and say that they're being immature. Why? Well, because God has accepted both the weak and the strong, therefore we must accept one another. So the reason why we accept each other, first of all, God has accepted us. Secondly, is because the Lord sustains us. Paul confronts both groups with a strong rhetorical question. Look at verse number 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? mature or immature, strong or weak, what right do any of us have to judge the servant of another? I pause because I want you to find peace and comfort in the fact, may you find peace and comfort in knowing that someone else's personal assessment of your opinions or your practice does not in the least bit affect your standing with God. Be at peace. It says, to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. God's the master. It's believers, we're the servants. And as our master, he is the one who makes us stand. It is wrong for us to interfere in the relationship of master and servant. We ought to work on our own relationship with our master. And we're to live under the conviction that we have in studying the Word of God. And so in questionable matters, in those debatable issues, we're ultimately to leave the final judgment up to the Lord. You that refrain from eating meat, or you that choose not to drink alcohol, good for you. Do so in the name of the Lord. You that want to eat meat, you that do drink alcohol, all right, do so for the Lord. Do it for His glory. Because both those that eat meat and those that don't, both of them belong to Christ. Both of them should let Christ guide their decision and their direction. And so we're not to argue and fight with each other over those lesser things. We're not making those the main issues. They're lesser, right? So we accept one another. We accept each other because God accepts us. We accept each other because it is the Lord who will sustain us. It is the Lord who will make us stand. We accept each other, thirdly, because Jesus is Lord. Beginning in verse number 5. It says, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are under the Lord. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And the word Lord is used 7 times in these verses. So as believers, we have no right to lord it over other believers, how they're supposed to interpret, understand, or live out the matters that are undefined in the Word of God. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. It means on these lesser matters, you've got to live in light of your understanding and your conviction. I've got to live in light of my understanding and my conviction. And you don't have the right to judge, condemn, or criticize my opinion or behavior if it differs from you. And I don't have the right to judge, condemn, or criticize your behavior if it differs from me. Each one of us is to live in light of our own understanding, fully convinced in our mind. And so he goes on to give more illustrations, more examples. He says there's one that treats a special day as being holy, and that person does so for the Lord. Another treats every day as sacred, and he does so for the Lord. And so the one who eats meat, well, they give thanks to God, and they do it for the Lord. The one who eats only vegetables, look at the text, gives thanks to God and does so for the Lord. May you understand that the shaping influence over that should affect how we act and what we do, well, the shaping influence ought to be the Lord, His Spirit, His Word, and not the opinions of other people. And the point being made here is that both meat eaters and non-meat eaters, both are dedicated and worship the Lord. In his example, he says, there are two people, both of them worship the Lord every day. The only difference between the two is that one of them sets certain days aside for an extended worship of God. In this example, both individuals give thanks unto God for their food. The only difference between the two is the type of food that they're eating. Both have hearts that are focused upon God. Both have dedicated their lives to worship and service God. Both are thankful unto God for what they have. The difference between the two are only external. They're not internal differences. Both have hearts that are right with God. Both are acceptable to God because both are fully persuaded that what they are doing is right before God. In all of Scripture, I think there's no greater call to holy living, no greater call to complete submission to the sovereignty of God and the lordship of Christ than we find here in verse number 8. Look again. For if we live for the Lord. Or if we die, for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. On lesser matters, on those things that are outside of God's word, we need to accept one another. Without the goal of persuading, convincing, or guilting another person, we just accept one another. Why? Because God has accepted us. Because Jesus is the one that will make us stand. Because Jesus is Lord. And ultimately, because God is the one who's the judge. Verse 10 says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Here, he's addressing both the weak and the strong. And notice, he includes the word there, brother. The person that's being criticized. The person that's being judged. The one that's being condemned is another believer. Whatever it is that they're doing in light of their personal conviction. So why is it that we seek to set ourselves up as God unto them and then criticize and judge them for acting or doing things differently than we do? To be honest, I think the reason why we see these verses as being so forceful or even disturbing is because some of us are either guilty of doing this or have been guilty of doing this at some point in our lives. Again, verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? You again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. The day is coming. The day is coming when every knee will bow to whom? To Christ, not to each other. Every tongue will confess and give praise unto who? To God, not to each other. Every one of us will be judged by God, not by each other. On matters that are not clear or addressed in the Word of God, our responsibility is not to judge or despise those that act differently. Our responsibility is not to criticize or condemn another person with a different perspective. Our responsibility is not to belittle or debate with those that do things differently. Realizing that we are not going to be called upon by our Lord to give an account for the sins and the shortcomings of other people. Rather, each and every one of us will stand before the Father and give an account of ourselves unto Him. May the Word of God and the Spirit of truth guide us, give us direction, the things that we do and how we live our faith on display in the world that we find ourselves in. Although it is often credited to St. Augustine, the reality is it was a 17th century German Lutheran theologian by the name of Robertus Maldinius, who gave us this saying, and I think he sums it up best. In essentials, unity. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Let's be honest. There are some things that in reality just don't matter. Instead of making those things a divisive point among brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of letting those lesser things divide us, let them go. Let it go. Father, pray that you would help us. Help us to understand how we're to live in this world. Create within us an eagerness to know your word and to rightly apply it to our lives. And God, on questionable matters, On things that we're unsure or uncertain of, Father, may we be driven to your word. And Father, help us to either find the issue in your word or help us to understand your character, your nature, and what the scriptures have to say that can shape who we are and what we do. Father, may the church stop tearing into one another simply because they do or believe things differently than us on these lesser items. God, let us love one another. Let us be driven to serve one another. May we be compassionate towards each other, understanding. When we come across a brother or sister in Christ that does something that's different than us, God, may we search the scriptures to see for ourselves, do you speak to this? If not, if so, may we go to them and lovingly and gently and kindly show them your word. Your word doesn't speak to it, Father. May we just love them and not allow it to be a dividing issue. And help this church to grow in spiritual maturity, Father. Help us to grow in charity towards one another. May our love increase for you and for one another. May you be honored and glorified in all that you do and all that you see from us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.